This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
BFM 89.9. Good morning. You're listening to The Breakfast Grill. I'm Roshan Kanisan. Today, I'm speaking to John Collison, co-founder and president of Stripe, a tech company that's looking to disrupt the payments ecosystem. John and his brother started the company 9 years ago with just 7 lines of code. Today, Stripe is valued at $35 billion. I spoke to John during Stripe's launch in Malaysia on Monday, and this is our conversation. Welcome to the show, John.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. And John, let's start right at the beginning. Stripe is a very B2B company, and you're essentially, at this point, a payments gateway. Would you be a modern version of PayPal? Is that an accurate description?
Yeah, so Stripe provides software for internet businesses. And what we want to enable is actually pretty simple. We want to make it easy for businesses to accept money from their customers anywhere in the world. And you might wonder, well, okay, you're from Ireland, you started this company. How did that come about? Really, what we found was that for people building internet businesses, this was the most challenging thing for them. The fact that it's still hard, still in 2019, for people to trade online. And so we got started in the United States. We launched in the United States 8 years ago, and we've been expanding since then. And today we're launching in Malaysia, which we're pretty excited about. But again, that's the same. It's the same core idea. And so if you're a consumer, you might not see kind of the Stripe logo everywhere, but with this explosion of exciting internet applications that have been happening, Grab or Deliveroo or Fashion Valet or Amazon or something like this, a lot of the time underneath the hood, they'll be powered by Stripe.
So that's exactly it. You are the underlying system that allows these payments to go through, allowing online businesses to accept and make payments. But a lot of times when we think about payments, something like PayPal comes to mind. What have you managed to solve that PayPal didn't?
Yeah. So, and you're right that when, and I'll get to that, but when things start moving online, suddenly everything becomes a little more complex, right? Where if you're accepting cash, you can have a tin cash box. That's all pretty simple. Now, when you want to have an internet business, there's a huge amount of complexity. What we found was that PayPal, for a certain set of use cases, might have solved them certainly kind of 10 or 15 years ago. But again, what businesses need have gotten much more complex, and the existing set of solutions hasn't kept up. And so, for example, as an internet business, you might be trying to build a subscription business. We have a company here called Shaves to You, which is using Stripe for their subscription razor service. That's something that Stripe makes it very easy to build. Or, again, maybe you're building a marketplace like a Grab, connecting riders with drivers. That's something that traditionally was very complicated that Stripe makes easy. And so all of these new internet businesses, subscription companies, marketplace companies, often operating very globally. Maybe they start in one country, but they're very quickly expanding. That's the kind of thing that Stripe makes simple, and that we had found the previous set of companies, PayPal, but many others as well, hadn't done so.
So I find the story of you going to Peter Thiel to get your first round of funding essentially really interesting, because Peter Thiel was a co-founder of PayPal. Yeah. What do you think he saw here that eventually turned 7 lines of code into what is now a $35 billion company?
So I think the thing that maybe surprised people is that there's a tendency to think that these problems, one company comes along and then they're solved, right? But just like there were search engines before Google, there were payment companies before Stripe, oftentimes it takes a while to understand the problem, and the market is much bigger than people realize. And so I think what he and other early investors in Stripe saw was, despite the fact, yes, there had been some efforts in this space beforehand, the problem was by no means solved. And if you talk to anyone who was running an internet business online, they would tell you that still things were very cumbersome for them. Things weren't necessarily solved. And that's definitely our belief today. In 2019, you might think, well, we've been doing this internet thing for 20, 30 years at this stage, we kind of have it figured out. No, we don't. I mean, in Malaysia, 3% of economic activity takes place online. We think that can be an order of magnitude higher. It's really interesting to think that still in 2019, there's the opportunity for smart people to create really exciting companies. There's all these opportunities that haven't been taken yet.
So payment systems on their own is just one part of the, let's call it the payment value system. Are you planning to move beyond that? Because I think in the US, you're looking at in-store services as well. What's that journey going to look like?
Yeah, and we already have started moving beyond just the kind of core payments to some extent. So the first thing is, I mean, even just getting the core payments right is quite complicated. You know, when we were expanding to Malaysia, one of the things that we're always very cognizant of is that we don't want to be the American company. Well, first off, you know, well, we're not American, but you know, we don't want to be that American company coming along and just taking the same product that works well in America and trying to make it work here. Because, by the way, that's not going to succeed. And so in the case of Malaysia, it's important that we can accept cards, we can accept Alipay payments, we can accept FPX for people who want to pay with their bank account and things like that. But even just getting the core payments correct, that's a bigger challenge than maybe people realize. But then we try to, on top of that, provide a lot of the software that makes running a business easy. Because when you talk to a business owner and you ask them, why did you start this business? They never say, well, I'm just really passionate about accounting, or, you know, I just really love filling out paperwork or something like that. There's always some reason that they started a business that, you know, we have the Rage coffee folks, and they're a Stripe customer, and they're really passionate about coffee. They probably didn't want to solve all this business administrativa. And so we tried to continue to take all that back office stuff that isn't strategic for the business, and they didn't even really want to be spending a lot of time on, and simplify that. And so, you know, we can provide their billing system. We can, you know, help prevent fraud, you know, payments fraud in the business. We just launched in the United States the other week a corporate card to help them manage spending. And so, you know, this is one of the things that's often challenging for businesses. So we keep talking to businesses that use Stripe and just say, what's still painful? You know, in what ways is your life hard? And go from there.
So I found the corporate card issuance very interesting because it shows an ambition to move beyond the payment system itself. And in Malaysia now, we're talking about virtual banking. That's something that we're opening up. We're thinking about the policy. Could we see one day a Stripe virtual bank? Is that one of the goals you're heading for?
Potentially. I mean, you never know. It's I couldn't have told you what the current Stripe product, you know, lineup today would be if we were having this discussion 7 or 8 years ago. But we actually don't start from what does Stripe want to do or what industries does Stripe want to be in. Again, we always start with what's causing hassle for businesses. Because, by the way, that's a really reliable formula to have a successful product. I think some companies get into trouble when they say, we really want to enter the virtual banking industry or something like that, but it's like starting inside the building and then looking out. Instead, we go out and we talk to, you know, we're holding an event today with, you know, we have, you know, more than 100 people from, you know, various businesses using Stripe here. And I think that's really important, getting that perspective as to what's causing those businesses hassle. And so I think, you know, if you were to then ask me, where do you think that takes us? I think there's a whole set of challenges when it comes to the operations, managing money for the business, things like that, that we can probably be somewhat helpful with.
Okay, and with that, what is we're in the last quarter of 2019 right now. At this moment in time, what are Stripe's main priorities in terms of the business? Where do you see the challenges and the opportunities going forward?
So our main priority is still expanding the business globally, in that, if you think about it, we have a global internet, we have a global means of exchanging information around the world, but it's still far too hard to exchange value around the world. And in particular, different countries are still running on lots of different payment systems, you know, Alipay and WeChat in China, or UPI in India, or again, you know, maybe cards or FPX or different things here in Malaysia. And, you know, we could tick through the countries and see how all those things operate, but there's nothing really tying them together. And so our main focus at the company right now, you know, if you were to come with me and we were to go into one of our product planning sessions at Stripe or something like that, would still be making it so that more people can transact with each other online, because that's, I mean, from a product point of view, I think that makes total sense. We want to make it so that if you're starting a Malaysian business tomorrow, you can sell to any customer around the world. We think that's a fairly reliable formula for having a compelling product. So that's priority number one. And then behind that, we have all manner of experiments that are constantly running, where we try to make it easy for a small team inside Stripe to launch a new initiative. It shouldn't be the case that if you want to get, you know, Corporate Card, that was a very small team. I mean, it was probably 5 people that got it to launch or something like that. And so we try to make it so that if we're going to launch into new lines of business, it's not these, you know, you're not having to launch a whole new department with 100 people in it. Instead, you can have a very small team that tests whether an idea works or not and go from there.
So with these different products, what's the potential for synergy there?
Yeah, there's quite a bit. So we start off with, we want Stripe to be the best way for you to accept payments online if you're an internet business starting out. And that's, again, more complex than it seems. Like if you were to join me at Stripe, where people are kind of digging into the nuts and bolts of this, it's such a complex world out there. It's so highly regulated, and you have so much different variants across countries that even to get that right is quite challenging. But okay, that's, you know, we think we can't let Stripe get distracted with, you know, interesting new projects or something like that until we really get the core of it right, making it easy for internet businesses to accept money online. Once we go from there, now we actually have something quite valuable, which is we have people who are using Stripe to run their business. They have their revenue coming into Stripe, and they're getting paid by Stripe in the form of cash coming to their bank account. And so then we think, given that position we have, what are other useful products and services that we can offer on top of that? And so on the revenue side, it might be something like it's easier for us to prevent payments fraud because we're already in that flow, or it's easy for us to build a subscription billing system for you, again, if you're a subscription company, because we're already in that flow. And on the cash side, we can make it easier to manage that cash, where a feature we launched recently where it was you can get paid out instantly rather than having to wait a day, which is traditionally the case for your money. Or even because we, you know, see your business's cash flows and we see how much money your business makes, we can then maybe offer you a loan where we can say we're even willing to give you more money than you've already earned because we know that you're good to pay it back. And again, this is something that was traditionally quite hard and quite expensive for banks to do, but we can do very cheaply because there's that data that we already have. And so we start with, again, we have to get right the core value proposition of making it easy for internet businesses to accept money. And the reason I kind of keep coming back to that is I actually think too many companies too easily get distracted from what's the core thing we got to do well. But then once we've done that for a business, we're actually in a very useful place to be able to solve other problems because the revenue is running through Stripe and they're receiving cash from Stripe.
We're going to get into your push into Asia, Malaysia, and the path to profitability in just a little bit.
Great.
You're listening to The Breakfast Grill. Stay tuned to BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to the Breakfast Grill. I'm speaking to John Collison, co-founder and president of Stripe. John, we've taken this conversation quite far and wide, and we've really established what Stripe is and what it could be in the future. So let's talk about Malaysia and your push to Asia. I think Malaysia is one of the 6 countries that you're setting up shop right now. Why is Malaysia one of these 6 countries?
Yeah. I mean, we're just really excited about it. And I think it's a combination of the fundamentals already being quite strong. And so we, as we enter a market, we look for what's the startup scene like there? What are the core facts around, you know, internet penetration? You know, there's 88% smartphone penetration in Malaysia. You know, 50% of Malaysians are already buying online. There's like already some really strong fundamentals there as a country for Stripe to launch. But also we're looking for room to grow, right? We're not just looking for a market that already has it all figured out. We're looking for a market where maybe Stripe can be helpful in continuing to develop the internet economy. And so as we look at Malaysia overall, you have, you know, the early stages of a quite exciting tech sector. You have 3% of the economy online today. We think that's going to, you know, there's a lot of headroom there to grow. And so it kind of has all the ingredients that we're looking for. And so what we did is, you know, over the past quite a number of months, we've been testing what is the right product for the Malaysian market, because we try not to just, you know, take the product that might have worked in Hong Kong or Singapore and just port it over here. In the case of Malaysia, we actually had to do, we have product and software engineering in region, and so we work on refining the product to make it good for the local market, and that's what we're launching today.
All right, great. What type of localization did you have to do for Malaysia specifically?
There's, I mean, many things that go on, but two in particular are, one is obviously FPX is more popular here for, you know, people paying with a bank transfer, maybe not just using a credit card. And, you know, this kind of thing is very cultural, how people want to buy online and you're not going to be successful if you're saying, oh, well, this is how it works somewhere else, and so this is what I want you to do. You really have to follow the local cultural norms. And then a big part of our business is all the, you know, rules and regulations around the financial industry and making sure that all those are followed. And so just us being able to do, you know, follow the know your customer and know your business checks that have to take place, those are kind of specific to Malaysia, how we do them here.
All right, and you also announced a partnership with PayNet. And essentially what this does is you provide the interface and PayNet supplies what is essentially the pipes for the transfer. Who else do you need to get on board to really be successful in Malaysia?
Well, I think we have the core elements we need to be able to serve startups well and serve, you know, internet companies generally right out of the gate. And that, you know, that's what we tried to get in place for launch. But we're always looking for, you know, interesting partners because we know that we're only going to be a component of a business's success. We're not going to be the only thing. And so, you know, for businesses doing e-commerce online, they'll often use maybe an e-commerce platform. You know, Easy Store is a customer of ours. And, you know, they'll be using lots of other different tools. And so I think we can probably partner up with the other tools that companies tend to rely on for trading online. But I think we have what we need to be useful starting day zero.
And is there any part of the, right now, the payments ecosystem in Malaysia that you are actively still looking for partners, or do you have everything in place at present?
I think we have the fundamentals in place, but look, we're going to be doing something wrong if it's not constantly getting better over time. And so I think we'll be adding new partners as time goes on. But I think we have what we need to begin with.
So let's take a wider look at the region itself. Now, our neighbors, Indonesia, they're a huge market when it comes to e-commerce. They've got their own startups, their own unicorns that are really growing. What's your expansion there going to look like?
Yeah, I mean, it's probably going to look different, right? I think Southeast Asia is this very kind of soothing sounding term that, you know, people in America like to use to, you know, to make this sound like a single logical concept. And, you know, that's what they're used to. Maybe, you know, things work fairly reliably similarly in the United States and things, you know, work fairly reliably in Europe. And then, obviously, you come to Southeast Asia, but you have all these different markets with different norms, different local successes, different ways that payments work and things like that. And so we were able to, I mean, I was really pleased, honestly, with the speed at which the product development team and market were able to get Malaysia out the door. And I think the kind of product will probably look somewhat different. You know, one thing that you've probably seen is that mobile money is evolving very quickly there, where you have both Grab and Gojek in the region growing very quickly and both entering the mobile money space in particular. And so that's no doubt going to impact our eventual product in the region there as well.
So you brought up Grab and Gojek. Now, in Malaysia, Grab is going into the financial space itself with their e-wallets. How do you fit in that ecosystem? Because from my understanding so far, it's a lot of to do with banking and credit cards.
No, we work with a lot of e-wallets today. And for example, we help businesses accept Alipay and WeChat transactions. And so, I mean, I think the rise of e-wallets has been great in a number of areas where they've brought down costs and made more convenient what was, you know, previously a more cumbersome process. But one thing we observe with Stripe is that businesses don't really want to be picking one payment system or one e-wallet to, you know, bet their entire business on. Businesses just want their customer to be able to pay them. And they tend to not have terribly strong opinions about what gets used for that. They just want, you know, to be able to facilitate that sale to a customer and you know, not have payments get in the way. And so we have observed that businesses tend to want to accept a broad range of payment tenders, be that, you know, GrabPay or Alipay or cards or bank transfer or anything like that. And so the value that the wallets provide is very clear, and many of them have grown quite quickly. The value that Stripe provides is a little different. We don't compete with them. We sit at a different part of the stack where we say, we'll let you accept any of these payment systems. We're not opinionated on it. We're not running our own competing payment systems or anything like that. We just want to make it convenient for you, the business.
So this would really help because right now we have that fragmentation in the market where one store accepts one e-wallet and the other one doesn't.
Absolutely, yeah. And it's, you know, it's frustrating for businesses, it's frustrating for consumers. And again, it kind of pulls down the internet economy where it probably makes it less productive than it could be. And by the way, Malaysia is not the only market where this is the case. Germany is similar and you have other places like this. But this is a pattern that we see is that, you know, there really is the need for something like Stripe that takes all that hassle away from the business and lets them just sell to their customers.
All right, John, let's talk about the path to profitability. At this point, are you profitable as a business?
We are a private company, so we do not disclose that. but, you know, the Stripe business is, you know, growing very quickly and has a pretty clear revenue model, right? Where this is not like a social network or something where you say, well, first, you know, we'll get all the users and then we'll figure out some way to make money from them later. Since day one of the company, since we launched, we've had a clear revenue model where we just, you know, the person who uses the product is also the person who pays us, you know, the business. They pay us for each transaction that they accept through Stripe. And so, you know, we're pretty happy with that revenue model.
Yeah, so this is, you've made this clear in the past. Going public isn't a priority. Why is that so, when a lot of the times the exit seems to be going public?
Sure. First off, the goal for us is not any kind of transaction or any kind of exit. The goal for us is to build a really valuable product that hopefully, if it's useful for businesses, is also a good business as well. That's the goal. You know, we don't think too much in terms of transactions or kind of the outcomes there. That's not the primary goal. But then also, I think you tend to notice this pattern that companies in the, you know, at this stage, in the later stages of their growth go public, when they have everything figured out, when they understand exactly how the business, you know, is, you know, it's a mature business and they understand exactly how it's going to grow from this point in time. We just think Stripe is really early in its development in that, you know, we're just now launching in places like Malaysia or other parts of Southeast Asia or India or places like this, really fast growing economies where the product investment is probably going to have to be quite different from how we built the products in the United States or Europe. And so it's partly because of that. We think we're quite early in the development of Stripe that we're not in a hurry.
And to wrap up, John, will you be looking for any companies that you can add to the portfolio of Stripe in the region, or are you going to try and grow this organically here?
In terms of acquisitions?
Acquisitions, mergers.
Oh, I mean, we're always opportunistically looking out for acquisitions because, I mean, the Stripe, the company is growing quite quickly. We're 2,000 people around the world right now. We've, you know, quite a significant number of people in the region as well, and not just, you know, sales kind of commercial, but also product development, software engineering, things like that. And so, you know, we don't do a vast number of acquisitions each year, but we do some each year, and we're always looking out for more.
Thank you so much for your time, John.
Thank you.
I've been speaking to John Collison, co-founder and president of Stripe. You've been listening to The Breakfast Grill, BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U Mobile, Frost & Sullivan's Malaysia Mobile Service Provider of the Year.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.